Big questions, even bigger guests. This is The Big Interview.
Good morning to everyone. My name is Thomas Kwenaide, and I would be chatting to the general, Deko Modise. There's a whole lot of things that I need to find out from a man who was one of the most influential, if not best midfielders ever to play in South Africa. He played as a midfielder and as a striker. You probably know that I'm talking about Solofelo Deko Modise. General, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Very, very well. And how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Great stuff. There's a lot of things I need to know about you, what you're doing right now, the state of South African football currently. But first off, tell me, how does it feel waking up knowing that you don't have to go to the gym?
I think right now I got used to it, but at first when I retired, it felt like a relief in the first few weeks, because now I could sleep over a little bit. But after that, I think it started feeling weird because of now. I'm so used to doing this for so many years, going to training every day in the morning. So I didn't know what to do now. I started exercising. So I went back to exercising every day in the morning because it's within my system. And that's something that I'm still doing even today. So just going back to that routine that my body's used to. But it was very, very, it was nice in the beginning because I thought, you know what? I need this break, but you know, because of the body's so used to it after so many years, it's something that I'm doing every day.
And then how has been the transition like? I mean, from being a player, then to being retired, how is that transition?
Look, Brati, I think the transition was difficult because for me, I retired in the beginning of the season that I was going to retire. So going to training and playing those games, knowing that this is the season that I'm retiring, it was very difficult to grasp because nobody knew at the time that I'm retiring. And I had to make peace with it. So I wanted to enjoy it for the last time in this very competitive stage. And I found, you know, clarity and sanity while trying to do that. And then once I started enjoying it, and then that transition for me started when I was still playing. So I knew exactly that when once I'm retiring, I'm going to feel good. I'm going to feel better about it. And the day that I retired, you know, I never stopped working a week later ever since. So the transition, so I never had time to take a break in between to really like, okay, let me figure out what is it that I want to do. So fortunately for me, you know, there were other stuff that was just waiting for me. So once I retired, I started working. So ever since I've been working, but the transition wasn't as easy as other people probably maybe would think or other people would probably see. It's just for me, the fortunate part was I retired a season before physically retiring.
Now, before I go to what you're doing now, let me put it this way. You have played for some of the biggest clubs in the country. You have played in the Africa Cup of Nations. You've played in the biggest tournament of them all, the FIFA World Cup.
Yeah.
When you look back, General, do you have any regrets?
Thomas, no. I'm very grateful of all the opportunities that I got and all the stages that I played in, especially when for me it happened in a very short space of time. I didn't have time to actually enjoy them or maybe reminisce about them. I had to play in every tournament that I was given an opportunity for. So for me, I was very, very grateful because it's something that I never thought would happen as a young kid. And coming into the PSL at the age that I did, those opportunities, I had to make use of them, and I'll forever be grateful. If there's probably maybe few regrets in my career, but the opportunities given to me, none of them was a regret.
Now tell me, you have been appointed as one of the ambassadors at Mamelodi Sundowns.
Yeah.
What does the role entail, and what do you do on any given day when you wake up?
Yes, it was announced as an ambassador for Mamelodi Sundowns last week. And honestly, I went back to the team last year. The unfortunate part was as I was about to be announced as an ambassador, I think Andy Lengonga passed away, and we had to delay the procedures. Yes, may soul rest in peace. And once everything was sorted, as we're about to announce again, Madisha also passed away.
True.
So and then we decided that we'll actually probably maybe look at January where we can actually probably maybe announce, and then President Mutsipe now became a president of CAF. So now so there's always been a delay in terms of announcing my affiliation with the team. Mm. And but I'm happy to be back. I'm very grateful for the opportunity that the club has given me. As an ambassador in South African football's term, it's something that is, it hasn't been clear for so many years because it's something that is new and most of the teams don't know actually what to do with that role. So for me also as an ambassador within the club itself, it's just more than dealing with the sponsors and activations and speaking on behalf of the team in certain spaces. For me also, it entails to be engaging with the fans, to make sure that the fans know exactly what is it, just to close that gap between the club and the fans, you mm-hmm. know, that bridge, to make sure that we still have the same conversations and also to engage our sponsors using the fans as our driving force, because at the end of the day, the fans are still as important as the footballers as well. And the other role also that I have within the Sunland structure is a series that we've developed that we're going to tell Sundowns stories, with docu-series. So mm-hmm. we'll be looking at all the stories that needs to be told, from a Sundowns perspective, and make sure that we get those type of stories to the fans and build from there, because I think there's a lot of stuff that needs to be told about Sundowns when no people actually don't know much about Sundowns. All they know, it's the dominance on the pitch. They don't know much what's going on behind the scenes, the kind of work that needs to be put in, and those are the type of stories that we want to sell. It's just that we want to get away from that narrative story of Sundowns are buying success. We just want to get to the point where we actually show people that even if you do buy quality players, they still need to fit into the system that has been working. You need to take a 28-year-old that is a good footballer to make him unlearn all those bad habits that he's been doing past these years to be able to fit in within the Sundowns structure. So it's not an easy process, but those are the type of things that we need to tell. And for me, I'm very excited to be part of this project.
You are also a TV analyst for SuperSport. How do you get it to mix all these responsibilities around and taking it into account, of course, that you also have a social life?
Yeah, I honestly, all I ever knew in my life was to play football, and that football kept me busy. And I'm so used to a hectic schedule. When I'm not, I don't know what to do with myself. So all this hectic schedule makes me alive, gave me a sense of purpose. Mm-hmm. And with SuperSport being an analyst, and also transitioned to a commentary as well. So it's those type of responsibilities that comes in that space, and I'm enjoying myself. I'm still part of football. I'm still part of the game, and I enjoy also being in commentary booth where I'm at the stadium. So I'm part of mm-hmm. the game itself. So I enjoy myself in football, and with all the responsibilities that comes, you know, from Mavratoy, like I said earlier, I enjoy being busy. I enjoy my work, even though I try to find balance in my social life as a married person and as a family person. We're trying to find balance still, but I think my workload is better now than it was when I was still playing football. So I think the family still understands that for me to keep my sanity, I still need to keep busy.
I find that a refreshing diversion, because most of your peers, when they retire, they go into coaching. Why did you think differently, or you've never considered yourself somebody who could be coaching? Is it so much of a problem being a coach, or it's just not in Solo Fellow's blood to be a coach?
I don't think the bug has bit me yet of becoming a coach. And also, I had opportunities to be an assistant coach when I announced my retirement. But Prati, what was scary for me was the transition of being a player to becoming a coach. It's not an, I've seen coaches struggling with that 5 years down the line when they're still coaching. Because now when you just retired and becoming a coach, and especially played at the level that I played in, I don't want to be coaching a player using me as a reference. I could do this better. So that it's a transition that I'm trying to run away from. Once that transition is passed and I'm good in my space, and I feel like this is also the other way that I can contribute in South African football, I will never run away from coaching. But it's not a bug that has bitten me yet, and it's not a road that I wanted to take. Yes, other people wanted to coach. I still want to contribute positively into the game, but I'm still trying to figure out how without being a coach. Because also, to be honest with you, Thomas, I'm also scared of becoming a coach and not being successful, and with that, people forget what I've done in South African football, or all the things that I've won in South African football. You only remember me as a coach that was fired by Chippa United, or the coach that was fired. So for me, I still need to figure out how to navigate through all those emotions and opportunities being given to me. But I'm still young, and I think if I really do want to consider coaching, it's something that I'll think about probably maybe in a couple of years.
Talking about South African football general, I'll make reference about you in particular. I mean, you were only discovered at 26 years old when you literally started playing for Bafana Bafana. Why is it that you slipped through the gap and you were not discovered when you were 15, 16 years old to play for the national under 17 or under 20 or the Olympic under 23? Why is it that we only discovered you at 26 years old?
But Thomas, I think this is a story that I've never told people. When I was 16 or 17, 15, at Orlando Stadium, the older Orlando Stadium, I think there were trials there for the national team. The under 19 or the under 20s, they were trying for the under 20s. At the time, the coach was Augusto Palacios.
Yeah.
At the trials, I was doing very, very well. But the problem was I couldn't go through because I didn't have a proper registration, identity registration, you know? And also I didn't belong to any type of development structure or association. So I was just playing amateur football. So I got cut because of that. At 17. So, and for me, that was an opportunity for me to be seen, or opportunity for me to be coached at that time.
Right.
And then when I went to Petersburg as well, when Styles Puma went to coach the under 20 national team as well, he was, we had a conversation together, but I was never given an opportunity to play for the under 20s. So for me, I felt like there's so many years as a junior that I could have been better, that could have been coached, could have been exposed, maybe could have been exposed in the PS a little bit earlier. But Brati, with that, you know, I think the NFD, which is Glad Africa now, gave me so much opportunity to grow, to understand the game, to be coached. Because also coming into the PSL, I was rushed. At 18, I was playing for Real Stars already. Yeah. I thought I was the most talented player in the Real Stars, but I was never given an opportunity because I was playing against amongst Tapelo Liao, Frank Makua. These are guys that are regular starter, regular season players.
Yeah.
So that opportunity being given at Glad Africa in the NFD gave me an opportunity to polish what I needed to polish. And I just said, unfortunately, I overstayed because of the loyalty that I had with City Pillars. But I'll never trade that experience for anything. Because when I came into the PSL, I was ready. And if you look at all the games that I played within the short space of time, it's remarkable from a player that comes from Glad Africa.
Talking about the PSL, looking at the state of affairs in our game, of course, look, I'm very proud to be part of the South African game and all that. And I'm also aware that we have a league that is considered the best
in the continent.
In the continent, absolutely. So what is your take about the general state of affairs about South African football?
Look, Thomas, I think on the pitch, we can still regard ourselves as one of the best in the continent to a certain degree. But now with all this, the last 2 years, especially once the pandemic hit, we've seen now a lot of gray areas where teams are getting sold, teams are getting this. There's a lot of action, especially with teams, new name, players go moving away. There's a lot of gray areas. And at first, the teams and at first football in the country, the players were the assets. nowadays it doesn't look like the players are the assets. Yeah. So now you're getting non-footballing people getting involved in the football, and then when things are not going well, they sell the team. So the people that are struggling, the people that are also facing all these challenges are players. So I just hope that those situations, I understand the pandemic, what it did in business, but I just hope that once everything settles down, that will be sorted out and become, and we go back to becoming one of the first four leagues within the continent. And also what is great as well, we're seeing there's a lot of growth within on the pitch. We're seeing a lot of teams now that getting experience in continental football. Nobody would have had this conversation of AmaZulu playing cap. Nobody. True. You know, now we're seeing that, and if we can get more teams getting exposure on that level, and then I think the competition within the PSL itself, it'll grow, because the experience you get in playing in Africa is totally different from what you get in the PSL. And I think if you look at your Ngobos that were playing for Kaizer Chiefs last season, you look at Blom, you know, the experience that they got whenever they came back and play locally, you could see the growth within the boys. And those are the experience that you cannot buy. And for me, there's a lot of growth within the club itself. There's a lot of growth within the competition itself. But I strongly believe that it's high time that this season, you know, a few teams need to step up, at least, you know, give Sundowns, you know, some little bit of a challenge, because you want the standard of football to always grow. I'm a Sundowns person, I'm a Sundowns employee, I'm a Sundowns fan, but I also want Sundowns to be challenged, because I also want to see every season, I want to see what Sundowns, how Sundowns will react when the challenge is tough. I want to see how there's a lot of stuff, because I'm a football fan at the end of the day. So, but yeah. I just hope that, you know, with the dominance of Mamelodi Sundowns that they've been having, somebody will raise their hands and give it a little push as well.
Talking about that, Sundowns dominance, I mean, we've seen already in six Premier League matches, they haven't conceded a goal, and they are topping the log, and they've already qualified for the finals of the MTN 8. Exactly. Yeah. What is it, do you think, that they are doing right and the other teams still need to catch up to what Sundowns have been able to get right?
Brati, what Sundowns are doing right is just the progression of what Sundowns has been. Yes, they do add on the new players to come in within the team, but there's a lot of work that's been done behind closed doors, where the players need to understand the philosophy, the type of ways that we play, you know, the type of movements that we need. And with that, because of there's a strong sense of foundation that is there. There's a strong sense of identity that it's there. I think that's one thing that Mamelodi Sundowns are going to take away. No matter what happens, they still want to play with that identity of Mamelodi Sundowns.
Yeah, yeah.
And with other teams when things are not going right, they resort to desperation and playing differently. Now let's try this one. Let's try this one out. But also I cannot blame them, because Mamelodi Sundowns, they do this because they believe in the system, because it has brought them results for so many years. So it won't make sense for them to change when things are going tough. But also sometimes they do find it challenging, because other players, they come in and the fluidity is not as fluid as it was before. So they still need time to adjust. So it's not as easy. And for other teams, I think what they need to do it's identifying and having probably maybe a proper structure as to how they want to play, because there's a lot of teams that have good quality players, but at times you fail to figure out what is it that they're trying to play? How are they trying to play? Are they using the right players at the right positions? Because I see a lot of teams that are trying to use a false nine. Why you? There need to be a reason why you're using the false nine. You can't be using a false nine because you've got four or five strikers on the bench. It needs to make sense. And other teams are still trying to figure themselves out. Trust me, Brati. Even when I was at Sundowns, there were moments also we're trying to find ourselves. So if once other teams get to that point where they know who they are and what they stand for, they will find players and they will find a coach that will make things gel. So I think there's a lot of maybe 2-3 years gap between the clubs, but I think Sundowns are there to dominate, because of this is what they've been doing for so many years.
Talking about identity and the quality within our game here in South Africa, Tiko, would you agree with me that our clubs still need to do a little bit more to identify personalities, characters who in the past would raise their hands and stand up and kind of take the game through the scruff of its neck and kind of dominate? We don't seem to have too many of those kind of personalities in today's game.
Yeah, Brati, and it's a conversation that I have in the studio that, yo, we used to, you know, when there's a game, a certain game, we knew that we need to look at, when the Chiefs and Pirates, when Jabu was playing, we know that Jabu on the other side, Steve Lukule, we knew that those are the type of players that will actually take the game on their own hands. Lately now you struggle to figure out what's going to happen. I don't think that the character is the same as it was before, to be honest with you. And, right now you find players that are they don't have the competitive edge. They all they want to do, yes, they are very talented, they want to play the game, but they don't have the competitive edge of trying to be the best in the country or trying to be, you know, outplay the other player that is playing on the other side. When I was playing for Orlando Pirates or for Mamelodi Sundowns, I always trying to when I play Chiefs or Pirates, those are my direct competitors. I want to play better than them, and I want to be best. I want to be the best because I want to be considered as the best. So I need to compete with your Shabalala, your Tsurinyan. Those are my competitors, and I wasn't shying away from it. And I told them that I want to be the best. So whenever I play you guys, if I had two bad games, trust me, on that day I'll be on my A game. And it wasn't because of arrogance, but because of trying to be the best that I could. And that pushes also Letsule Nyana to play better, it pushes me to play better, it pushes Shaba to play better. And I think we don't have many of those just today because the character is not the same.
Talking about Letsule Nyana, Shaba, and all other top personalities during their playing days, how did you feel when Dr. Khumalo came to you and chatted to you and say, General, I think if you do 1, 2, 3, you could actually become even a better player than you are right now?
Being in the presence of Dr. Khumalo itself, for me, it was remarkable. And at the first, I was very shy because I didn't want to talk to doctor, and I didn't know that doctor knows me in that way. But because I've got that respect. You know, I grew up knowing who doctor was, so the respect will forever be there.
Yeah.
But when he started telling me about the game itself, and at the time, Brother Thomas, he wasn't speaking to me in private. He said that while we were around people, he used my name as a reference.
Wow.
And for me, you know, it was amazing to hear, and I took that, and I was still playing at the time. He said, we need to have more players like Tico that are taking the game further, that are changing the game. And I was like, wow, this is my hero, my idol. And he uses me as a reference. And for me, I felt like if I can feel this way, whenever I do have an opportunity, once I'm done playing the game, whenever I can contribute and have a conversation with the players to grow their game, I'll do that because I know what doctor with those words he has done for me.
Let's quickly focus to the national team, Bafana Bafana. They have two tough upcoming games against Ethiopia, home and away. Yeah. How do you see these two games panning out?
I think, Brati, we always struggle to beat Ethiopia. We're gonna go to Ethiopia and come back with maximum points. But I think a draw will suit us, will give us an edge, and then coming back home and try to go all out at home. Because I think the boys that are playing now in the national team, they enjoy playing more at home. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that game will probably have a few fans or so to go and watch. So I think that's what we need in South Africa, to play. To have your young boys, be given that opportunity, and also to have fans around. And I think that's the game. Those are two games that I think we can easily get 4 points from it. But it's possible to get 6 points, but it's just that with the history, we always struggle to beat Ethiopia.
And in the game against Zimbabwe away and Ghana at home, what is it that you noticed perhaps that you think we did right in these two games?
I think against Zimbabwe, our backs were against the wall. Mm-hmm. We managed to stay disciplined and make sure that, we do what we can, with all the conditions that we are under. But against Ghana, I strongly believe that, we could have played better than what we did.
Mm-hmm.
We could have kept the ball better. But also we have players that have, you know, that attitude of, they always want to push, they always want to go forward and try to get goals with all the younger boys. Your Songwani's, the boy from Baroka, they have that attitude.
Evidence Makopa.
They always want to run, they always want to give more extra. So that gives us an edge. But I think in the midfield, we need to get more We need to be more in control. And that responsibility goes to your mokwenas, your whoever that has been selected.
Yeah.
We need to take that responsibility and give us that strong belief that we can control the game in the midfield, because we do have talented players, but with the pace sometimes we're playing with Ed, it's a little bit too quick. And we understand because of national team is a different level, but I strongly believe that we've been given games, things will turn around.
Now you hinted that there could be spectators allowed to attend their game against Ethiopia. Have we done enough to get a lot more people vaccinated?
I don't think we've done enough, Brati, but also you need to understand the type of personality South Africa has. And South Africa is Robert Thomas Makgola Kaobo. You know, and we're very forgetful and forgiving as well. So once we get the taste of seeing our own people on the TV while watching the game, the other few people are there, actually, I want to be part of that next time, yeah, being given an opportunity, but I can't do that without vaccination. It's on a subconscious. It's going to stay there, and people are going to, because I always say that if they want to get people to vaccinate quickly in South Africa, they need to use sport as a tool to do that, because I know that so many people get frustrated without coming to games because going into games was part of their lives. So now you need to figure out what is it that you want to do. So you end up spending money on unnecessary things when football was giving you that therapeutic feeling. So use sport as a tool. And after the Bafana game, look at how the situation is. Give the responsibility to the home teams. When Sundowns are playing, for instance, are playing Golden Arrows next week, give Sundowns an opportunity to say, Sundowns, we have, on your game, we're going to give you 500 people from your fans, mm-hmm, that are vaccinated to come and watch the game. Now, Sundowns, during the week, it takes us, your Sugar Mabunda, to make sure that Sundowns fans get vaccinated before come to the stadium. Mm-hmm. So now you're using these teams to play their part, and those will actually help the teams to have more, because every team wants to have their fans on the stadium, but they need to find the right tool to do it. So I think after this game, let's see if how the numbers are going and what the reaction is like. But I think if those responsibilities are given to the clubs in the PSL, I think it will do wonders. I think we will reach the numbers that the government wants very quickly.
I hope the Minister of Health and the Minister of Sports, Natim Tento, are listening to you, General, because what you are saying is very, very crucial. And now let's just round it off, General.
Yeah.
FIFA has hinted that they are discussing with the possibility of holding the World Cup every second year. Mm. What's your take on that? Some people say it might dilute the aura of the World Cup, but I want to hear, what is your take? How do you feel about the World Cup every second year?
I think the World Cup is the elite. It's the best stage for any footballer. And we've been seeing it coming in every 4 years, and it gave us something to look forward to in every 4 years. And when it comes too quickly like this, when there's so many big tournaments in between, it kills the aura that you speak about, that we might not get the best performances in the World Cup. Because in between it, there's the Champions League, there's Euros, yeah, there's all the type of tournaments. So now, if you pack the World Cup there, it's gonna be diluted at all. It will be one of those other tournaments. And for us, we need a tournament to be a big spectacle, you know, something that we speak about a year in advance, very, 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 very excited about. And I strongly believe that they need to stick to certain things don't need to change. We need to stick to the traditions, and the tradition of World Cup is every 4 years. And I think we need to stick with that. For me, I wouldn't advise them to take it to 2 years, because that's when the Euros plays. That's when, mm-hmm, the Champions League, mm-hmm, plays. You know, there's a lot of tournaments that are playing.
General, there's so, so much that I still wish to chat to you. And I hope you know that I've been able to read your book, and there's so many things that I learned about you. I got to know you better.
Yeah.
And I've been privileged to have watched you play from the time you were at City Pillars to Orlando Pirates to Mamelodi Sundowns, Cape Town City and all that. And I consider this an honor. And thank you very, very much for availing yourself to chat to me. I really enjoyed this chat, and I hope we can do this again.
Thank you very much, but Thomas. For you, Hotman, anytime, I'll avail myself. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you, sir.
That's how we come to the end of my chat with the one and only General of South African Football. Thank you very much, and have a nice day.
Big questions, even bigger guests. This is the Big Interview.